on a Monday night.
No, not me.
Yeah. This is God and Fishing. Fishing Frank here. I'm the fishing part. Pastor Donnie over there. He's the God part. Captain Barry. He's kind of the middle part. Let's see. You know, it's funny, but, you know, we play this song at the beginning all the time, you know, at the end, you know, Louis Armstrong and Bing Crosby. And they're talking about hoeing and, you know, you left your row undone.
Yeah.
How many people do you think really know what that means?
I would say in this day and age, less than probably 20% of the people.
Yeah. I mean, when you know, it's just a great song, you know, it gone is. Fishing, da, 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 da. But if you actually start thinking about the words in it, they're supposed to be out there hoeing the garden, getting the weeds out of the garden, yep, and doing all that, and decides to go fishing instead.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, you know, crossed my mind, how many people would actually
just
understand
for the record,
the
Frank,
lyrics?
Stormy, you know, the wife, when she heard the song, she was like, did they just say they went hoeing? Did they just pick up some hoes? I said, no, not like that. No, they're working the garden. But then they decided, might as well go fishing.
Yeah. Not many people will farm as much as they did back in the day either, so... Yeah. Like you said, I don't think people would pick up on it either.
Farming's not as cool as
it
used to be.
With a hoe, that's personal garden. That's because you're out there, you know, hand cutting weeds out, you know. Yeah. I did that a lot growing up.
Yeah. Yep. Potatoes. Lots of potatoes. Green beans.
My dad decided for about 2 years he was going to have a garden, so Mom and Dad decided. So that meant we got to go out and, you know, keep everything together.
Yeah.
It's funny how your parents decide, we're going to grow a garden. In other words, get your butt out there and weed it, you know.
I think it was a way to invent a way to get your kids outside. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, that was no problem.
Yeah.
But it was a way to get us to stay by the house.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's another way, yeah.
So, anyway, here's the challenge of the day for you, Pastor Donnie. How do we turn gardening, fishing, all that into a prayer?
Well, you know, it's always God's nature, so let's get this going. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your time and this opportunity to fellowship with one another, and hopefully, Father, spread some good news. And, Father, whatever our reason is to be out in your nature, your world, Father, we just ask you to bless it and provide all of our needs so that we can enjoy and use what you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that was pretty good. Tying in nature and all that. Yeah, yeah, gardening.
Well,
I like gardening.
I actually enjoy it. My wife, she did 76 tomato plants. I do not recommend to do that ever again.
What do you do with... That's like...
We gave it away as much as we possibly
500
could.
500 tomatoes or something.
I was going to say, that's like averaging what? How many per plant times how much ever?
Well, she did a variety because she thought that would be a funny thing to do. So she did a variety. But the tomatoes we like a lot, so I would just go by and eat them, you know. But then it got to be a nuisance. It was like, dear God, we got a lot. Mm. So when God gives you, he blesses you. And so we ended up taking it to the produce stand. And I was like, can you guys use tomatoes? And I was like, yeah, how much you want to sell them for? And I was like, no. We're giving it away. You guys can do with it whatever you want to because we have abundance of it. Yeah, we'll take a few. And I opened up the bed of the truck, and it was like, oh, dear God, you sure you don't want to pay for this? I was like, no. And you can have the plants, too. I mean, they're still producing. So, it was pretty fun. But yeah. I love doing that. I love hunting. I love fishing. Nature is awesome.
Well, speaking of fishing, you've been out recently.
Yes, sir. We actually went out on Saturday. Big time out on the water on Saturday. It was the... last weekend here in Florida for snapper season this year for the big reds. Thank God. The
American Reds, just to clarify. When you say
yeah, the American Reds. Yeah. And the state decided to open it up for the last weekend, so we went out
there. That
was
because of the tropical storm / hurricane that went through. And it was kind of funny because it said, Governor, whatever his name is, you know, Governor this, and, you know, and FWC, you know.
Yeah.
That was funny, but boy, the governor he won a lot of press about that. I'm going to give you another weekend of red snapper fishing.
Yeah, that's good press. That's good PR, especially, you know, time for election. If you want the fishing people to, you know, reelect you, yeah, it's how you throw
it
a bone after.
It's a weekend of free fishing. Not free, but, I mean, at least opening the season for those American reds that everyone loves to target.
It's an absolutely gorgeous fish. It's a lot of fun to target, especially if you go light to medium tackle. Dad loves them. They're one of the better eating fish out there.
All right, you just bought him a rod. Have you had a chance to use it?
That's the one we used.
How was it?
It was great until I lost the hooks. He says I didn't tie the knot right. Uh-huh. I was like, dude, you're not supposed to catch grouper on there consistently, one after another. You're supposed to, you know, lighten up the load. But he had a snapper on, and as it was coming up, you can just start seeing it, and then pew, gone. So something bit it and took off with it. So then I had to put him on the other tackle. But the rod and reel worked fantastic. I think it was a 1,500 pin conventional with the gears.
Yeah, the two-speed.
Yep, the two-speed.
The Fathom two-speed.
And then I forget the rod.
I don't remember if it was a Rampage or if it was a Star. I don't remember what rod
that
was.
I'll have to look. I'm sorry about that. But I do know I'm asking our little buddy in there to do us a Reaper rod. Mm. Build it for that. We want a lightweight rod with a strong backbone. And so
yeah, the problem is these guys now they want these slow-pitch rods.
Yep.
You might as well be fishing with wet spaghetti.
Yeah.
I mean,
is that like a new fad that's going on right now? A slow pitch
slow
rod?
Pitch,
because
yeah.
of slow pitch jigs that came out?
Well, the jigs are the exact same
I
jigs.
Know. Yeah.
They just, and they're not there's no difference between a slow pitch jig and a regular bottom jig. The difference is if you're out there and you want a jig, so you lift the rod up. And now I usually mine move over to the side a little bit and then drop the rod again.
Yeah.
Lift the rod up, move it over, drop the rod again. If I go straight up and down, sometimes the line falls over the tip of the rod.
Exactly.
Okay.
So when I'm jigging, a lot of times I do a little side motion at the top, creating kind of like a very long triangle.
Right.
But if I'm just going straight up and down jigging, I've got to really watch that drop because otherwise the line loops over the end of the rod and then
right.
you're tangled up.
Right.
But with the slow pitch, you hold the rod steady, you crank the reel handle, and you do one or two cranks real fast. And the rod is so weak, it bows down to the weight from the weight of the jig, and then you just hold it, and the rod tip lifts up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Comes back up the top. And then you crank the handle again, the tip dips down, and then it comes back up. What I don't like about it is when I'm just sitting there just bouncing the rod up and down, the jig stays in that one zone.
Exactly.
But when you do the slow pitch, every time you crank it, you're reeling in. So it goes up like 10 or 15 feet, then you drop it back down, and then you start your whole
seems like a lot
crank,
more work.
Stop,
free spool
crank,
it.
Stop, yeah. crank, stop, free spool, stop, crank, stop.
Yep.
It's a lot of work.
You know, I mean, it was really
supposed
cool.
supposed to be fun.
Because they got these very noodly rods.
Yeah.
You know, they're so soft. Just right. the weight of the jig pulls that tip way down.
Well, I want to tell you why we're doing it. Obviously, I mean, the radio land can't see us, but me and Barry are pretty big dudes. I think I got him on the weight department, but he's got me in the height department by far. But we're both pretty good-sized fellas. Dad, on the other hand, very small guy. He's 80, right at 80 years old now. And his problem is, when we go deep, of course we got a reaper, the big reaper rod with
right.
the big reel, and he drops straight down and leaves it in the gunnel, but he still likes to fight the fish. But because he's older and smaller, he wants something light in weight that he can hold without wearing himself out.
At the same time, I'm sure he wants a powerful reel to be able to
right.
like that's why the two speed I'm sure comes in hand, because you can
yes.
put into low gear and just like a winch, just winch the fish up.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's kind of. And when you're out that deep, it's not like you're casting out there a country mile anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's on the bottom or somewhere in between,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have to cast out to get it. You just drop down and get it. But now every now and then you'll get in a school of mahi-mahi or something, you know, going by, tuna or whatever. So we have rods for that too. Mm-hmm. But the trick was to get him a rod that we can get him to go down with a conventional and then have that second gear where we call it the easy button or
the easy button.
It really is
you know,
an easy button.
It
once,
is.
Once you hit that, no matter how big that fish is, you just crank the handle. It's like putting a 10-speed bike in low gear,
yep.
then, you know, pedaling uphill.
So you're, much easier.
You pedal a lot, but you go up, there's no effort to it.
None. And,
it takes a bit, but you make it.
We actually tested the two reels. We had a 3,000-pin spinning rod that he normally uses, and it's about right for him.
Yeah.
Don't wear his arms out holding it. And so we went to this 1500 conventional with that two speed, and the two reels weighed about almost identical. Mm-hmm. So that plus now that if we get this reel or the rod, shorter grip in the back so he can get it closer to his body a little bit more because he don't have long arms.
Now, what I tend to do is if I take a stock rod off the shelf or somebody who can't afford to, you know, or doesn't want to spend a lot of money on the rods, you take like an $80 Shakespeare Tiger Elite, that short one, the 5.8, and then you have the anybody who does rod repair, and you have them cut 4 inches off the handle and then move the butt cap closer to the reel seat 4 inches.
Yeah.
And all you want to do is 4 inches. So, you know, from the handle down to the butt cap, right by the butt cap, you take 4 inches out of that rod. It brings it in just far enough, even for smaller women. And, you know, because people are getting bigger. I mean, you know, and but that seems to be the perfect. You would think 6-8 inches because it's a very long handle, but trust me, 4 inches you cut off. And it's usually pretty inexpensive.
Let's try that with his rod. I'll bring it down here, and we'll try that with his rod and see what kind of difference that makes.
That's the rod you have, I think, too, right?
Yeah, and I think it would be interesting.
I think you got a Rampage. I'm almost sure that's what it was. Yeah. It's black and red rod.
Yep.
Yeah, do they that's have the same Penn butts? Rampage.
Frank, do they have the same length butt?
Yeah, pretty much. Almost every manufacturer puts those long butts on it. And I've tried to say, you know, guys, you need to have one with a shorter butt so people's arms aren't that long, all of them. You know, if you're only 5'8", that's a long ways away.
It fits me perfectly, but him, it's a
but
reach.
But you're over 6 foot.
Yeah, I'm 6'5". I think Barry's, what, 6'6", 6'7"?
No, I think I'm right at 6'3½".
Oh, you're taller than I am. Get out of here.
I don't think so. Maybe it's the hair.
Maybe. Oh, come on.
That wasn't a blow. I'm just saying.
It was a blow. We call that a nail.
I'm just being frank.
I didn't really. But anyway, the rod
I'm going to be frank with you today. That's what the guys at the store, they say, you know, are you frank? They say, no, but I can be frank with
you. The rod and reel, because I came in here, what, Monday or Tuesday or something like that, set it up. And then we got it out there. And what I do is I put a 30-pound leader on the end of it because we have 30-pound braid, 30-pound leader. On that reel particularly, we went 65 braid, so I went 60 on the leader because I knew what he was going to do with it. He wanted to go after them bad boys with it, and I said, okay.
Does he not, like, tell you? He's just kind of like, hey, I'm just going to drop for a snapper. Is that what he kind of does for you? He doesn't say, hey, I'm
He just kind of looks at me with that evil look, and I'm like, uh-oh, okay. And so I put him a 60-pound leader on her, but I put two hooks on it. So not only is he going after one, he's going after two. And so I put two odd hooks on it, or no, one odd hooks on it. And he was just fishing the day away. I mean, you ought to see the pictures. Well, you did see the pictures, but Radio Land didn't. But he was catching nice fish off of this thing, man. I know until one of them bit his line off. But
right, I was going to say, I know you were going after the American Reds, but I think the bigger story here is the size of those red groupers you got. You're getting them in the 30-inch range, which is, to me, that's, once they hit 30 and above, that's phenomenal. That's like really thick fillets you get out those red groupers.
Yeah, I mean, and the cheeks. Oh, man, don't forget the cheeks. The cheeks are just perfect, all of those things. So we ended up, we had four people on the boat. Dad caught the biggest grouper. And then he got the biggest snapper, and the grouper was like 30 and a half, and then the rest of them were right in that 30 range down to about 23.
And what did the biggest grouper come on? Like what type of bait did you use for it?
We, on that one, it was the orange.
The curly tail, is that what you're saying? The curly tail. So it was on artificially put out?
It was an artificial bait.
What, like a scented curly tail, like a gulp?
The gulp.
Okay.
It's orange. It's kind of long, about 2 inches, kind of fat.
Yeah.
It's got the squirrels cooked in it. I'd like to tell you I remember all these things, but I don't.
So the body? Green and red one, kind of.
I got an orange one and a green one.
Yeah, well, they got like an orange and green or red and green type
you
one.
You put that on like a chicken rig kind of thing where you have a sinker with two hooks? You just tip it with those?
I have a 3-ounce weight on the bottom. I come up and I put a hook on. I tie it on. I think I showed you the tie. I go around. I go through the eye, go around 7 times, go back through the eye.
It in. A snell knot,
And then I go up and I do another hook same way, and then I tie it off on a swivel, the bigger swivel, the 250 pound swivels that you were showing me.
Yeah.
The American Fishing Wire barrel swivels.
Haven't tried that.
If you walk in the back door at Fish and Frank's, take your immediate right and you'll see them.
I've not tried all the names of this yet, all right?
Well, the only thing is, Sean's just a very good friend. American Fishing Wire are some of the nicest people on the planet.
Hey, wait a minute. Awesome. Don't we have to plug? All right, we got to plug Publix in this, right?
We'll get there, I guess. I don't know.
All right, well, we just did, so we're good now. So we got American. By the way, we have no sponsor, but we plug these guys for some reason. I don't know why.
I was going to say, every time you turn around, you're plugging somebody.
We do.
Good.
We do. If you go to Publix and get chicken wings, you can drop that down for
Grouper. Anybody who would want to sponsor the show is welcome to.
Absolutely.
You know, send in money. And considering this is community radio, if you enjoy shows that you hear, go to the donate now button, click and donate, and whether it's a couple of bucks or, you know, a lot of money or whatever you want to be able to do, go ahead and donate. And if you think we're terrible, change the channel.
No, Frank, we're not terrible, we're awesome. I think we're like number two.
We got to give these listeners some value. So after you put those two hooks on, you just tip them with
look
those gold
Barry
curly
go,
tails. We got to give them value.
Oh yeah, we got to go back. Sorry. Yeah, good job, Barry.
What'd you catch a big grouper on? We all want to know. I want to know.
All right. By the way, that's why
I'll
you're
throw
in the
something in the tip jar.
Me and Frank get distracted. That's why you're in the middle. All right. So yes, we had the gulp
distracted. Why? Okay.
All right, so we had to gulp down at the bottom, and then I put a piece of squid wing on the top hook.
Okay.
And so we're targeting two different animals. Whatever's going to hit us, we're hoping for a variety of fish.
Okay.
So we're testing it to see what's hitting. Now, mind you, I have two other people on the boat that are fishing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not technically fishing right now. So we have another guy dropping down. He dropped down a pinfish. Miss Laura dropped down a squirrel fish, and then he dropped down these. As soon as they hit, all three rods went off at the exact same time.
Okay.
And this is right when we hit the hole. I mean, just right out of the gate. And so he got the grouper.
Your dad got the grouper, the 30-incher?
Yeah. And
on which one did it bite, the squid wing or the gulp?
The gulp, the one on the bottom.
What?
Yes. And it was a struggle. It was a fight to get that bad boy up, man. Jeez. He lost interest in it after a while. He was like, I can't hold a rod anymore.
Oh, my God.
Because he was trying to get down in that hole.
Yeah.
He didn't stop him before he got down in the hole, so he was having to keep that pressure on him. Mm. And we didn't want to bust the rod the very first cast, you know what I mean? So
because you guys haven't done that before, right?
Time or ten. Frank
Frank just like rolled his eyes. Like,
I'm starting to wonder why
I hate Frank my warranty policy.
I'm starting to wonder why Frank even likes me, you know what I mean? There for a while, I was coming in every other day. I was like, I don't know what happened. He was like, you can't fish. That's what's the matter.
I never said that. I never said that.
Yet.
And then our buddy Jamie.
Out loud. Never said that out loud.
He had the pinfish on. Mm-hmm. And now they're... One's on one side of the back of the boat, and the other one's on the other side of the back of the boat. They're standing about 8 foot apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they both got hit at the exact same time, nearly the same hole, and he got an American red. And then up front, she got an American red on a squirrel fish.
Mm.
So it seemed like live bait the American red was going after. Grouper, I don't care what we threw down there. We was catching all the grouper on anything I threw down there as soon as it got to the bottom. If it passed through the snappers on the way down, because we had a 25 to 28 foot
ledge
that we was playing in, and every time we dropped down, as we went down, they were getting hit. But if we got to the bottom, the grouper was hungry, and so we caught seven groupers, seven American reds.
Wow! So
and so we could have came back with one more. Really,
I want to try what we talked about in a few episodes ago, where Frank's like throw down a chunk of tomato and those red grouper will eat it.
The next time I go out, I'm going to do that.
You got it.
You had all that bait you gave away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All that tomato. Yeah, bringing that back. Yeah.
That's how we tie that back in.
There you go. There was a reason why you brought that story up. There you go.
Think about that. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, you're giving away good grouper bait with those tomatoes.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Like, that's been a while ago, but yeah, we're going to have to do that.
I don't know.
When I take you out, we'll do that. We'll do that, and we'll do hot wings, or the chicken wings.
That'd be a lot of fun. Take a bite, throw on the hook, then drop it down.
I would really like to see it with his habanero stuff on that chicken wing, seeing if he actually gets a grouper with
it. We'll put teriyaki on one and, like, buffalo sauce on the other and see which one they bite more.
Yeah, there you go.
Testing. Let's see. Come on.
What? What's the matter, Frankie?
Oh, I thought I had something that was going to work here, and it didn't.
He was going to make a noise.
I haven't heard anyone call him Frankie before.
Yeah, he put an alarm clock on us? Are you kidding us?
No, I have no idea what that
is. You never know what you're doing anyway.
Yeah, I... Really? Everything's kind of going off all at once. All right, I'm sorry. I really thought I was going to have something cool going, and it just didn't work
out. It didn't work out. All right. That's all right. We'll forgive you on that. But anyway... So, yeah, the next time we go out, I got to get you out there. You know, I've got one more weekend that I can go, and then I'm going to be gone to the Philippines for about 30 days.
Oh, man.
And then when I get back, if I can't get you, you know, soon, I'll get you when I get back, Lord willing. You know, I never plan anything. I just let God do that because every time I make a plan, he laughs. You know what I mean?
If you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans.
That's it. I promise you, it always goes that way. But I do want to make a note about something. We had a question this week. They said why didn't Christ go? You know, because you know he lived up to a point without doing any ministry, and then his ministry kicked off, and he went picking up disciples. Mm-hmm. Right now, at age 12, he did preach in a temple, but. The question was, why didn't he go to a church, why didn't he go to the temple, and draw out the Pharisees as his disciples?
Because he was listening to radio fishing, or got him fishing on Sunday morning. You know, Jesus was, you know, like carpenter, fisherman, he was a perfect demographic.
Yeah, yes, he was. But what it boils down to, the first four men that he called out to fish, or to be his disciple, was fishermen. Mm-hmm. They were men that was on a boat. That had just came in from casting their nets, and he said, come follow me. And they immediately dropped down on that, and he said, I'll make you fishermen of men. What it was is their work ethic. They were willing to go out and do what they were told and do it well. And they had a good work ethic to them. The reason they didn't go to Pharisees, which is basically our pastors and bishops of today,
as commercial,
they're too stuck on themselves. They're too high
fishermen,
up.
They were probably, you know, never mind.
Dirty. They were dirty. They were rough.
Dumb like tractor, strong like bull. That's what you're told.
Pretty much. I mean, if you think about Simon Peter, everybody calls him Peter, but his name was Simon. But if you think about these men, they were rough necked. They were fishermen. They were stinky. They were dirty. They were big, strong men. They were pouring in these nets.
I could have been a disciple.
Frank, you're small and frail.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, I mean, you probably were a stud back in your day.
Man, that was pretty rough.
I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. I'm absolutely average. Average height.
Are you average?
I'm 183 pounds.
That's average? I was 183 in high school.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I was 183 in middle school.
Frank is currently in the fetal position.
Yeah.
All you guys get a visual right now?
But he didn't go to the Pharisees because they were too stuck on themselves. They were too prideful. And if you look at our churches today, same thing. A lot of our pastors wear Armani suits and Gucci watches and what are the Rolexes and drive around in Bentleys, and they have forgot who they serve, and it bothers me. And I'm telling you, when you know, as a pastor and I love to fish, I can see it. The dedication that true fishermen have, and even recreational fishermen, they get up early, they get all their gear together, they get out on the water. And they work hard. I mean, it's a hard work out there on a boat, getting everything done, keeping the boat clean, keeping the rods repaired, keeping all your baits done, and coming back in. I can see why he went and picked a fisherman. I really do.
All right. Well, I'm going to say, you know, we're getting down to the end of the wire. I think we got like a minute.
The American
and a half
Fishing
left.
Wire? What wire?
Yeah, the American Sorry. Fishing I Wire?
American Fishing Wire.
You just plugged him again.
Sean,
you can't get that at Publix,
you,
but you can get it at Fish and Frank's. Bam! Trifecta, baby!
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you say a prayer for staying on topic? And pray that on the next show, we actually tell somebody how to catch a fish.
Well, we told them. We told them on a groupie. Grumpy. Grouper.
Yeah, the groupie. Grumpy. The groupies, yeah.
What's the thing called?
That thing is
Grubtail.
All right, Grubtail. You only got about 30 seconds.
All right. So. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time. And Father, we hope we educated somebody out there. And Father, always keep us patient, well of mind. And Father, just give us the time to fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, Mr. Captain Barry, Mr. Guy, tall person over there. Do you have any last words?
last words?
I would say just you could see my work on tarpinworld.com. Plug there. And
yeah.
That's it. And we'll see you next week.
Hey, Grace My Faith Baptist Church, love you.
Yeah. Let's get them all in here, guys. Come on,
Fish and Franks, where bait really matters.
Oh. Actually, that sounds pretty good. Going edition. We'll see you guys on the next show. Thanks for listening. Where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun. But I can prove it. You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.